Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If you want to turn, I just got one verse of scripture tonight, Psalm 119 and 30. And it says, I have chosen the way of truth. The judgments, or thy judgments, have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. I want to talk tonight for a few minutes about responsibility. Responsibility. Let's pray together one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this house. Lord, I feel your spirit just moving and bringing comfort and peace to us tonight. And Lord, just lifting us up tonight. And I thank you for your love and your presence and that assurance from the Holy Ghost that I feel tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, as high as our faith is now, Lord, just continue to let our faith rise in this house. Lord, put an urgency in us tonight to respond to your word, to believe your word. Lord, I pray that you would just unlock something in every heart and mind and spirit in this place. And Lord, don't let anyone leave here tonight unchanged, God. But I pray that revival would sweep this room, Lord, that your spirit would sweep through this room again, that you'd help me, Lord, as I preach your word tonight. Lord, help the preacher, help the hearer. In Jesus' name, let your will be done. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time, and you can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Glad to see Philip and Kaylin walking in the house. They came tonight just to hear me preach, I'm sure. Glad to see a newly licensed minister with the UPCI, Reverend Sade back there. Thank you, Jesus. Glad you could make it back, Dad. Responsibility. We all have responsibilities. We, if you know, as parents, we have responsibilities to take care of our children. If you're the husband, the head of the household, you have a responsibility to take care of your wife, of your family. If you are the owner of a business, you have responsibilities that other workers, other employees don't have. If you if you are the chairman of some board, you have responsibilities to oversee things and to kind of guide things the way they should be going. And we, in our everyday life, even just if, you know, on my job, at school, whatever I'm doing, I have responsibilities that I can't ignore. I could, but my life won't, you know, it'll be a mess. It'll be a wreck. And whatever I'm trying to do, whatever I'm trying to accomplish, if I ignore responsibilities, it won't be good. And that is, when we talk about the definition of responsibility, it is the state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or having control over someone. Now, that doesn't mean, it doesn't really mean how it sounds. It means you have responsibility, can't think of the word, but it's you oversee someone or a group of people. You have an obligation to someone or to a group of people. Another way of saying it is the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. That's why sometimes we see someone do something. We see some, you know, political figure or something. There's some scandal, and people are demanding that they take responsibility. In our own lives, sometimes we mess up, we misstep, we make a mess of things, and it's important that we take responsibility for our role in making this mess. But responsibility is not a compound word. It stands on its own. The word responsibility is that word. However, I heard someone say it recently, and whether it was intentional or not, or how they were trying to get this to come across, it struck me as I have a responsibility. I could say that I have the responsibility to use my ability to respond. Say that five times fast. I have the responsibility to use my ability to respond. There are some things that I can't ignore. I got to respond. There are situations and circumstances that arise in our lives that we have little to no ability to control. Things that make us feel powerless. Things that there's no way that I could have stopped this circumstance from arising. There's no way, and even if my actions brought it on, I have no ability now to change it. This is just how it is because, you know, actions have consequences. I can't change it. I don't have the ability to, but we are not powerless because of the Word of God. We're not powerless. Our opening text, the psalmist writes, I have chosen the way of truth. I made a choice for it. I could have reacted in a lot of ways. I could have chosen a lot of different paths, but I've chosen the way of truth. And I may not have the ability to control the circumstance, but I have the ability to respond according to the word. I have the ability to respond the right way. If I don't have anything else, I have a response ability, and there is power in that. When we respond and when we react and when we take heed to the word of God and we let that play out and that be the guide and the filter for how we respond to things that arise in our life, there's power in that. I may not be able to control what the situation is, but my response affects the outcome. My response can affect things and affect change in this situation. I have a response ability. And when I face trials and tests and loss, I have a response ability. You look at Job, of course, I think the most obvious example. He lost everything. He lost everything but his integrity, but his faith in God. In Job chapter 1, after he's lost everything and he's looking at just the wreckage and I'm sure is in just utter grief and disbelief. But it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, it says, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. His response was, he had no control. We see it says that Satan appeared before the Lord. They had this back and forth, and God allowed these things to happen to Job because of the faith that God had in Job and what he knew about Job. And so Job had no control over the circumstance. He had no ability to change what had happened to him, but he did have a response ability. And he had the ability to say, I'm not going to charge God foolishly. God gave me everything that I have, and he decided to take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his response was not to shake his fist at God and say, I can't believe you've turned your back on me. I'm never serving you again. I'm never worshiping you again. I will never walk through the church doors again. But he said, he gave me everything that I had, and he decided to take it away. I don't know why. I don't understand, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That was his response.
when I am tempted with sin, I have a response ability. You look at Joseph in Genesis 29 or 39. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he didn't care that no one would see it or no one would know about it. He didn't care about that. That wasn't his question. His question wasn't, will anyone know about it? His question was, does this honor God? And he knew this will not honor God. This is wrong. And in verse 9, it says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it said he fled. He ran out so that his coat was still in her hand. He fled the situation. He got away from it. He had a response ability. He couldn't control that she was going to try and get him to do this wickedness against God, like the scripture says. He couldn't control what had happened to him, why he was even there in the first place. He couldn't control any of that. But he could control his response and say, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to flee from this sin. I'm gonna get out of this situation. I'm gonna get out of here. I have the ability to respond. Now I'm going somewhere with this. When my sin is exposed, let's say I have sinned. Let's say I have given in to temptation and I've sinned and I've messed up and I've made a mess of things and my sin is exposed before God. And maybe my sin is exposed before my brother or my sister. You look at David. After he had sinned with Bathsheba, and David is confronted by the prophet for murder and adultery. That's bad. That's a mess. And he's confronted, and he tells him, you are the man. Well, David had, he couldn't control now what he had got himself into. The consequences of his actions were here. He couldn't control that. He didn't have the ability to go back in time and undo what he had done. But when he was confronted with his sin and his sin was laid out before him, his response was not to make excuses as to why he did what he did or make excuses and put the blame on anybody else or try and work his way around it. But we read the greatest example of repentance in Psalm 51 it's a whole chapter of David repenting before God. And it says in another place that he repented. It says and this was after they had lost the child that was the result of this sin. It says that he repented. He arose. It says that he washed himself, he anointed himself, and he went into the house of God and he worshiped. That was his response when his sin was exposed. It wasn't to say, well, I'm going to go into hiding now. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to be around these people anymore. I got to get away. I got to isolate. I got to hide myself. I got to hide my sin. He said, my sin, he told God, my sin is ever before thee. I can't hide it, but this is my response. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It matters how we respond. And he didn't have the ability to change what he had done, but he had a response ability. When I am pressured to conform to the ways of this world, and that pressure, it's here more than ever. It's here more than ever. Not only in schools, not only on campuses, but in workplaces, and even for some believers in their own home, the pressure is there to bow down, to conform. You look at the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The king had told them, I'm raising up this idol. The music's going to play, and everybody's going to fall down and worship this image. But when everybody else fell down, there were three boys that stood up. They never bowed. They stood there, and he threatened them with the fire. He said, I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace. I'm going to literally throw you into fire and kill you if you don't decide to do what I've said, if you don't decide to bow down to this image that I've set up. And they said, we're not careful to answer you in this. That we believe God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship this thing that you've set up. We serve the Lord. And we see as a result that God was feared in this place and by this king because of their faithfulness in the face of the fire. And they didn't have the ability to get out of the situation they were in. They didn't have the ability to fight an army and fight a king and get their way out of there. They didn't have that ability to change everybody's mind just, in a split second. But they had a response ability. And they made up in their mind, my response is that I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to serve the only true living God. And I'm not going to conform to this world. I'm not going to conform to this culture. I don't care what kind of threats. I don't care what they say they're going to do. I don't care how it makes me look. And I don't care if it's just me and two of my friends. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on the truth. I can't control. I don't have the ability to control what everybody else is doing, but I have a response ability. I have the ability to say, this is my response, and I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. When I'm faced with a hard decision, when I'm faced with impossible odds, when I am faced with the hardest situation that I can possibly imagine, I have a response ability. And there's no greater example of this than Jesus praying in the garden before his arrest when he knew what was coming. And in his flesh, he was praying. And he said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He was so agonized over this. He was that it said his sweat was like drops of blood. He was so tormented and agonized by what was coming his way that he prayed. And the Savior, he prayed and said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he quickly got that under subjection and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when we're faced with an impossible task, when we are faced with a situation and it seems almost impossible to say, Lord, I've got to trust you and believe that your will is going to be the best, we have a response ability. I may not be able to control the situation that I have to face. I can't make it go away. I can't just make it disappear so I don't have to make this hard decision. I don't have the ability to do that, but I do have the ability to respond and say, Lord, I believe that your way is best, and I believe your will is the right way. And Lord, I'm getting my flesh under subjection right now, and I'm saying, not my will, but thy will be done. I have a response ability. I have a response ability. When I am attacked or hurt or wounded by someone acting as my enemy, you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17. I don't believe I marked this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. I want you to look at what Paul says. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, listen to this, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I love how I heard that preached one time, that we preach that as a revenge scripture. So we can say, yeah, God's going to get them. But I just believe that when the Lord is saying, I'm going to repay, that doesn't mean he's going to repay them evil. It means he's going to repay me what they took from me, the peace that they took, the joy that they took. He's going to repay me the things I feel like I lost. And God will take care of someone in how he sees fit. But this, just watch here just a verse later. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. We think of that as another gotcha scripture. Like, well, I'm gonna kill them with kindness. And I'm just gonna respond and I'm just gonna turn the other cheek and I'm gonna be nice and smile at them, and it's just gonna eat them alive. and they're just going to have no rest because it's going to be like coals of fire burning on their head. And that's not the right way to look at that. You look in other places and you'll realize in this scripture that those coals of fire on their head, it's a purging. And that's for them. Because when you continue to respond in a godly way, when you continue to respond to your enemy with love and with kindness and with peace and long-suffering and temperance and all these fruits of the Spirit, it will slowly begin to purge what's wrong in their mind that's making them come against you and making them act the way they are towards you. See, God doesn't want to punish anyone and condemn anyone. He wants it all the way around to end up for everybody's good, for everybody to be delivered and saved and set free and made how they should be. But I have a response ability to not get vengeance and to not look for revenge and to not respond the wrong way, but to respond with love and to take care and love and give long suffering and temperance and to live peaceably with my enemy. I have a response ability. When my own flesh and emotion are overwhelming me, when the biggest thing that's fighting me is myself, when it's my own emotion and what I'm facing and how I'm feeling, I want you to look at Psalm 13. What David wrote. Because sometimes it's not the enemy of your soul that's attacking you. Sometimes it's my thoughts and my where I'm at mentally. I'm not in a good state because of what's going on, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm feeling low, and I'm feeling frustrated. And you look at what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 13. He said, "How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." I don't want to say he's being a little dramatic, but there's I get a little bit of that vibe in here. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. And I can think maybe God's sitting there going, "All right, get it all out. Get it all out. It's okay. Get it all out." He said, "Lest mine enemy say I've prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Man, he is having a pity party. And you can see that he's overwhelmed. I'm not making light of what he's going through. You can see that his heart is overwhelmed, that his mind is overwhelmed, that he's not in a great place mentally right here because of the things that are coming against him. But then in just a second, it's like he says, "Okay, hold on. I've whined long enough." And in verse 5, he says, "But I've trusted in thy mercy. And my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." He said, "I know it's bad right now, but the Lord has dealt bountifully with me." He didn't even say he will. He said he has, and so I believe he's going to do it again. I'm not going to whine and wallow anymore. I have the ability to say, "I'm going to bless the Lord. I will rejoice in his salvation because I know that he is my salvation." And his response to even his own flesh and emotion that was overwhelming him was to say, "It doesn't matter if I'm feeling like this. I'm going to choose to rejoice in his salvation. I'm going to choose to think about how he's done it before, and I believe he'll do it again. He has dealt bountifully with me. He has dealt bountifully with me." When the enemy is trying to lie and deceive me, it says he's the accuser of the brethren. I think my response, I just have the ability to say, "Get behind me, Satan." I believe that he's a liar. That he's the father of lies. If he's talking, he's lying. And you know, it says he's the accuser of the brethren. That made me think of a political debate, because Most of them are, that's all they do is accuse. That's the way to win elections now, is just what kind of dirt can I get on my opponent? How can I make them look terrible enough that everybody will ignore how terrible I am? That's political debates. And they, you know, they hurl these accusations at each other. But it made me think of what the response that you hear a lot of times is, they'll interject and they'll say, "Can I respond to that?" And I feel like when the accuser of the brethren comes against you and saying you're a failure, you know you did this, you know you messed up, God has left you, God has forsaken you, you don't have it in you, you ought to throw in the towel, you're sad, you're pathetic, you're pitiful, you're an addict, you're always going to be an addict, you're a sinner, you're always going to be a sinner, you're dirty, you're always going to be dirty. I think I have the ability to say, I'd like to respond to that. Get behind me, Satan. When I fall, I shall arise. So don't rejoice against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And though a good man fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Get behind me, Satan. I'd like to respond to that. I have the ability to respond. I'll tell you, we need to learn how to respond. This is what I'm trying to speak to us tonight, is that we need to learn to not just let things, just sit there and just let things happen as they happen. This in this culture today, people today, they want to just keep to themselves and avoid as much as they can any kind of responsibility, interaction, having things that they feel like they're obligated to do. It's just like, how can I just survive in my bubble? How can I just survive to myself? But things are going to arise in our walk with God, and we can't be nonchalant about it. Things are going to arise in our life, and sometimes it's because of us, sometimes it's not. We can't just sit there and not respond. And this is the beauty of it, though. We see over and over, and I've only given you a few examples in Scripture tonight that we see over and over. When we respond the right way, there's power in that. We're not just responding to respond. We're not just responding just to waste our breath, but when we'll respond with the Word of God and with the ways of God, there is power over the situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. I wish I could get a witness tonight. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight just for a minute or two. Does anybody know tonight that I have the ability to respond to this? It doesn't matter what it is. I have a response ability. We need to learn how to respond to the Word of God. There's nothing harder. There's nothing harder, and I'm not throwing this accusation at you tonight, but there's nothing harder as a preacher to preach your guts out and nobody respond. There's just not. It's hard. It's tough. I've been in play. I love preaching at home. Thank you for you know, helping me. But I've preached in places, and I'm not going to say where, but I've preached in places that it was like preaching to this wall. And I'm talking about frustrating, because you're like, I know this is good. I've had some duds, but man, I know this is like, I pulled this one. Just man, I'm preaching I Am Persuaded today. What is wrong with these people? And I've been in places, and it's hard, because, and this is the thing, and that's, I'm kind of being silly with that, but it's hard because you know that there are people that you know this word is just knocking on their heart's door. You know that God is saying, hey, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in. But people sit there and they lock up, and they sit there and they just recline in their seat, and they don't respond, and nobody comes to the altar, and it's hard to see that happen. It's hard to see that happen. Not because you want them to respond to you, but you want them to respond to God. You want them to respond to the Word. Church, we need to get an urgency in us like never before to respond to the Word of God and to respond to the unction of the Holy Ghost and not sit there and let it pass us by. We need to get an urgency in us again to be able to stand up and say, amen, let it be so. I believe the Word that's going forth. I'm going to respond to that knock on my heart's door. I think about Lazarus. He's dead in that tomb. He has no ability to control that he is dead. But when that word came forth, Lazarus, come forth, that word brought life. But guess what? Lazarus still could have laid there inside that tomb and not come forth. Nobody pulled him out of the tomb. Now, when he got out, he told other people, go loose him. Get the grave clothes off of him. Help him out. Help him out. There were people that could help him once he responded, but he had to take that first step. He had to make that first hop out of the tomb. He had to respond to the word because that word, it brought life, but it didn't bring him out of the tomb. He had to respond to the word. And that's how we get sometimes, churches. We don't realize that we have the ability to walk out of the thing that we're in. We have the ability to walk out of the state of mind that we're in, out of the trial that we're in, out of the chains that we're in, if we would just use our ability to respond to the word of God and not sit there with our just relaxed and nonchalant and not caring and saying it's for somebody else. Somebody needs to understand that God's saying, I'm knocking on your heart's door tonight and I wish that you would respond. Oh, if you just knew that you could walk out of this tonight. If you just knew that on this Wednesday night I could touch your life and help you and lift you and love you. If you would just use your ability to respond. Oh, can we just lift our hands and just, let's just talk to the Lord for a minute. The Lord's trying to help us tonight. I know I'm excited. I know I'm loud, but I'm not trying to yell at you and be hard on you. I'm passionate about what God is trying to get across to us tonight, that you don't have to just sit there and let it happen, but you can respond to the word. You can respond to that call. You can respond in a way that'll change what you're going through tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, you can come. I'm going to wrap up in just a minute. Finally, there is one response that I can and should have, and you can stand with me tonight. There is one response that I can and should have in every situation, in every circumstance, in every season. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So it doesn't matter which situation I talked about tonight, which kind of circumstance that you find yourself in, there's one response that I'm always going to have. There's one response that is always going to be layered on top of however else I respond. And that is that I will bless the Lord. My response is going to bring in praise. If I'm sad, I'm going to praise. If I'm hurt, I'm going to praise. If I'm sick, I'm going to praise. If I don't know what to do, I'm going to praise. If I'm in an impossible situation, I will bless the Lord. If I feel attacked on every side, I will bless the Lord. If I've got no money in the bank, I will bless the Lord. If I got a bad doctor's report, I will bless the Lord. If I've been hurt by someone, I will give him praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I have the ability to respond. Someone tonight, you feel the Lord drawing you. You feel the Lord knocking at your heart's door and speaking to you about your situation that you find yourself in tonight. You feel the Lord knocking. You feel Him saying, hey, that's you. That's you. That's what you've been talking to me about. That's what you've been going through. I'm trying to show you. Will you respond? You may not have the ability to change the circumstance, but you do have a response ability. Oh, and if we could just realize the power that is in our response ability. Can we lift our hands right now? We're going to make our way to these altars, but just all over this room, I want us to all lift our hands. I want us to begin to talk to the Lord all over this room. There's a way out. There's a way for things to be better. God's not going to leave you without an answer. He's not going to leave you without a way. He's not going to leave you without a door. He's not going to leave you without a solution. But there's got to be a response. There's got the time for sitting by, the time for sitting on your hands, doing nothing, accepting it. That's been long enough. It's time to respond.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.